What happens in the sky affects life down here on Earth. The Celestial Compass shows you how and guides your way with astrology you can use from professional astrologer Kathy Beal. Every episode features her light-hearted, practical forecasts and navigational tips, blended with humor, optimism, and a love of patterns, symbolism, and pop culture references. Kathy translates technicalities into concepts that apply to real life. You'll learn how the current moment ties to where we've been, from the recent past to cycles that last happened years ago, and get a look at where we're heading. And much more, from special topics to special guests. The Celestial Compass, enlightening, entertaining, and empowering. Here's your host, Kathy Beal.
Greetings, Earthlings. This is your host, Kathy Beal, professional astrologer, professional Aquarian, and longtime star tracker. And I want to thank all of you out there in internet radio land for joining me on the very first episode of Celestial Compass. And we're going to kick off the show looking at what's happening in the month of March, not just because it's the 1st of March, but because it's the first really big gear shift in the year. Now, the calendar is an artificial construct, and it very rarely coincides with astrological shifts, but it does this month. Very soon, you're going to feel the atmosphere and the pace change really drastically. In a good way. No freaking, please. We're hitting a stage of processing a lot that's happened, assimilating it, and starting to figure out what we can do about it, and that we actually have the motivation, and more importantly, the energy and the information to do something about it. Now, how we got here. The last couple of years have been incredibly intense. I don't think anybody would argue with that. You've probably actually hit points of questioning your sanity, questioning the sanity of all kinds of people around you. Last year especially was a time of structures and infrastructures and foundations exploding and imploding and showing all their flaws and ways that they couldn't keep on going. Right around Christmas, Hanukkah, end of the year, on the solstice, a new beginning started. And it is going to play out over the next couple of years. And all of this year is actually tweaking what that new construct means for us. And this was big in February, which is why I'm spending so much time on it right here. This involved a meeting between the planet Jupiter, the guy that ups the ante of everything he touches, and the planet Saturn, whom I call the planet of adulting, the guy who loves structure, order, we've always done it this way, eat your vegetables, go to bed early, pay your bills, blah, 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 that influence. Saturn and Jupiter are in the sign of Aquarius, which you can think of as zip code in the future. It's also very cold, distant, objective energy. Loves the concept of mankind, not necessarily so great with it up close and personal. I get to say this because I'm an Aquarian. Anyway, Saturn and Jupiter meet every 20 years, and they set a 20-year cycle in motion. This is the first time in our lifetimes they have met in the sign of Aquarius. And Jupiter makes things big. Saturn puts obstacles. So we have massive social distancing occurring and very much of life going online. And that's a given. We're hitting kind of the one-year anniversary of that in, oh, what month are we talking about? March. Okay, so on the solstice, this new construct started to fuse into place, moving us from the old ways to a very different way of doing things, a very different way of interacting, a very different sense of community and of responsibility. And all year long, whatever that new construct means for you, it's getting stress tested. And the first big test hit in the middle of February, when there was a massive failure in the power grid in Texas, Louisiana, and Oklahoma. A breakdown in electricity, breakdown in the grid, breakdown in structure, perfect description of a clashing arrangement between Saturn, Lord of Structure, and Uranus, the guy who throws lightning bolts. Those two are meeting three times this year. And this month, we're now standing back and looking at what it means for each of us personally. So that gets us to March. So in the beginning of March, Mars, which rules our drive, actually it's the inspiration of the word March, the Roman god of war, rules our drive, rules the masculine, rules how we push ourselves out into the world. I call him the cosmic first responder, moves into the sign of Gemini. Gemini is air. It is very fast moving. It's ruled by Mercury, the messenger of the gods. Mars has been in the sign of Taurus, which is real slow and steady earth energy. And now on the 3rd, it's moving into Gemini, where it will stay through April 24th. And the pace is going to pick up like crazy. Our minds are going to be running all over the place. We'll be doing multiple things at once, multitasking like maniacs. I call this short attention span theater, going here, going there. It's great for curiosity, for picking up all kinds of information, for talking, especially by the end of this week when Mercury, ruler of communication, meets with Jupiter, guy who ups all the ante. The noise level will be enormous by the end of the week. If there is something you've been wanting to say, if you've been wanting more flexibility, more dexterity, if you've been feeling cabin fever, you will feel it like crazy this week, this month. And you'll be out and about doing whatever you can, and at a minimum, yakking it up like nuts. So if you have felt stuck, you're going to find yourself, at least your mind, running around like crazy. And this is the first shift that underscores how different March is from February. February had a pileup of planets in the sign of Aquarius in fixed air. February had real immovable, fixed, my way. I know what I'm thinking. I am right. I am right. I am right. Objective, cold, distant energy. March has an abundance of pliable, mutable, easy. Let's go this way. Okay, now we'll go that way. We're all becoming like reeds and moving much more supply, much more easily. And part of that is because we're now moving into a lot of bodies in the sign of Pisces. Pisces, the last sign of the zodiac, ruled by Neptune, the god of transcendence. I call him the cosmic fog machine. We start the month with Venus, who rules our social mode, in the sign of Pisces. Venus in Pisces is absolutely lovely if blissfully out to lunch energy. This is the sign where Venus is said to be exalted. She's the human, mere mortal ruler of love and creativity. The ruler of Pisces, Neptune, is her higher counterpart. Venus in Pisces is in love with love. An astrologer whose book Notes from a Stargazer's Notebook I absolutely love, Devi Kempton Smith, who's no longer with us, used to say that this was what you want in a person. You want to be in love with someone who has Venus in Pisces because they will just forgive you anything. They're just in love with love. All the better if you have bug eyes and hurt yourself. So it gives a real sensitivity. And it's poetic, and it's dreamy, and it's soft, and it puts us in touch with escapist, lighter, beautiful influences. Venus is going to meet up with Neptune in the middle of the month when we hit peak Pisces. So as we get toward the middle of the month, just before the equinox, it's going to get really heavy into wanting to soak in the tub, everyone acting like they're mermaids, watching, binge watching whatever you can get, you know, historical dramas, chick flicks, romantic comedies, dressing up, just being listening to music and being all emo and floating off somewhere. It's actually very gentle and beautiful, and it christens the Pisces new moon at the middle of the month. And this is a wonderful, wonderful time. Now, to allow your creativity to just flow, to give yourself time to be fallow, to spend time soaking in the tub, to be soft and gentle and play with animals if you got them, go outside if the weather permits and stare at the stars, stare at the sunset. If you can get yourself to water somewhere, look at the water, look at the animals in the water. Seriously, these things can get to you at a subliminal level and soften your entire experience. Venus in Pisces is inviting all of us to pay attention to the ways that we are connected, even if we are not physically present. The Aquarian energy last month brought an awareness of the networks of connectivity. The pileup that's going into Pisces this month counteracts, makes an end run pass around our brains and simply lets our entire beings get that way. It's very sensitive. Emotional sensitivity, telepathy could be high, your dreams could be really interesting. This is a wonderful time to actually program your dreams. If there's something you would like more information about before you go to bed, fine-tune the topic. Say, I want a dream on, say, whatever the topic is, and you always program it with two prompts. One of them is, give it to me in imagery I understand, and the second is, make me remember it. So you can work a lot of problems out. You can just go visit someplace in your dreams. Whether you program them or not, it would be a very valuable time to start actually monitoring them, keeping a dream journal, becoming aware of what's going on in your subconscious. You could, if you really want to have fun with this, start playing with telepathic communication with certain people. As nuts as this sounds, if you're going to be able to do it at any time, it's going to be now, and it will be especially strong around the middle of the month when we will have a concentration of bodies in that sign. Now, interestingly, Venus and Mars aren't quite working in sync with these energies. Venus rules what we desire, and again, our social mode, how we interact with people, and often money, but Venus in Pisces isn't too focused on things as tangible as money. She values the poetic experience or ecstatic or just the romance of it all. And Mars is how we go after what we want. And they are in clashing modes right now, two different mutable signs. So although they're not going to meet in an exact square, which is like a shoving match, by sign, each of them is kind of prodding the other to action in a not entirely gentle way. So there's that tiny bit of an edge under things that are going on. Venus stays in the sign of Pisces through the 21st, which is the day after the equinox this year. And right after the new moon, which is, I believe, let's see, the 13th, when we're at peak Pisces, Mercury enters Pisces as well. So by the middle of the month, our desires, our social modes, what we value, and how we communicate will be in that watery, magical, I am one with everything, boundary blurring energy of Pisces. So know that the whole issue of empathy will be very strong. Empathy, compassion, but also what's yours and what's someone else's. So if you do have a challenge in keeping your own borders intact. You might find them just dissolving around the middle of the month. So heads up here for possibly being a little more attentive to clearing your energy and drawing boundaries and drawing your own little magic circle around you and deciding what's in it and what's out of it. But on the whole, most of us are going to find ourselves really feeling, really noting, sensing what's going on with scads of other people in a way that we've been able to block out, especially with the big pileup in Aquarius last month. So if you're looking at a situation and trying to decide what you want to do about it, this little combination suggests that at least in the first half of March, it would be worth your while to think, to read, to gather bits of information, to let your curiosity run wild and go all over creation, to meditate, to dream, to let your creativity also run wild. Daydreaming could be very, very valuable to feel your connections with other people and see where all of this together, this wonderful blend, this mix leads you. I'm trying to figure out where a nice little stop here. We're coming up on the first station break, and I don't want to get in the middle of a word. So I'll see you in a few minutes.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life, ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs, and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Want help with your own celestial compass? Visit my site, empowermentunlimited.net, for Astro Insight forecasts for each week, month, and new and full moon. Want to explore the personal impact? Make a decision? Understand another person? It is possible. Click the services tab to book a personal session with me. That address again, empowermentunlimited.net.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Well, welcome back to Celestial Compass with Kathy Beal. We're talking about the month of March, and I want to continue talking about the role of Venus in terms of our relationships and what we value. In the first half of the month, actually two-thirds of the month, Venus is in the sign of Pisces, where she's said to be in exaltation, and where our social dealings are very much enmeshed. We're flowing in and out of each other's energy fields. It's highly sensitive, highly empathic, highly telepathic, highly creative. If you're into magic, this is really great, even if you're just a play witch. On the 15th, she moves into Aries. This is the territory of Mars. I'm so sorry, on the 21st. It's April 15th, she says, sir. So on the 21st, the day after the equinox, she moves into Aries, the territory of Mars. And this puts feminine energy, the divine feminine, the receptive and feminine aspects of ourselves, our notion of relationships, of what we want, of desires, into fiery Mars territory. This is Huntress territory. This is leaping, not looking. This is going after what we want. This is not lying there being like a sweet little maiden hoping that someone will come find you, which is the Pisces mode. This is, I want it, bam, going after it. So that's the first clue that things are going to get more and more fiery, passionate. And in fact, around that time, we're going to feel like our engines have come back. Okay, at the beginning of the month, when Mars moves into Gemini and is freely moving, our minds will be highly energized. Around the equinox, which starts the spring in the northern hemisphere, the fall in the southern, when the sun moves into Aries and then the next day Venus moves into Aries, it's going to be like someone lit a match inside of us. And the life force is coming back. We're feeling gumption, get up and go, gusto, whatever. Now, how does this all fit with the stress test that happened last month? It's actually perfectly in line with it. Something last month pointed the way to new structures in your life, something that has to change. Might have been really drastic, as it was for millions of people in the south central part of the United States. It might have been something saying you got to change how you're handling your banking. I saw things across the board in terms of intensity for people. So whatever it was, and even if you're not quite sure exactly what I'm talking about, this month begins with your mind naturally starting to gather. You'll find yourself naturally, organically talking about things, getting information. And whether you're conscious of it or not, it's going to be part of figuring out how you're going to deal with the puzzle pieces, to deal with the new construct, what you're going to do to work on it and participate and push some things forward. Venus plays into this as well with the inspiration end of it while she's in Pisces. And then around the equinox, the engines rev up and we start actively going after what we want. We start actively interacting with the situations and pushing our will into them, moving from simply gathering info and feeling our way through it to leaping, lunging, pushing, being bold, not sitting around and waiting. I neglected to mention, but you'll be feeling it. There aren't big impediments this month in the sky. Nothing is retrograde. Nothing. Now, retrograde is most frequently associated with the planet Mercury and communication and technology and travel going all fluey. All the planets can be retrograde, and they have a differing effect on us when they come about. But when nothing is retrograde, there is nothing impeding full steam ahead, nothing tripping us up, nothing yanking us backwards, nothing giving us whiplash. We can actually move. So whatever you sense is your new construct, whatever innovative way of going about life is taking shape for you, you will make progress on it, and especially in a big way, starting with the equinox, when the sun and then Venus are both in Aries. Mars will still be in Gemini at that time, and he'll be in a mode of getting along with Venus and the Sun at that point. So energy will feel like it is, our minds will be fueling our will and our desires and our relationships, and there'll just be a higher level of, even higher level of activity and excitement and enthusiasm and the sense of, oh, everything's so futile, why am I even trying, will have lifted very much. So just keep your eyes focused on that, okay? There is a full moon at near the end of the month in the relationship sign of Libra, and we'll be adapting and adjusting our agreements and specific relationships based on what we're doing, where we're tweaking things, how we are moving the puzzle pieces around. Now, innovation, doing something different, I keep saying innovation, but for yourself, personal innovation, we're not living by the rules that we did before, because if you just look out in society, the ground rules we were brought up with seem to have gone out the window. Everything is being rewritten, and that actually gives you some freedom, if you think about it. If, why not make it up? Make it up in a way that serves you better. Allow your true self to come out. That's highly Uranian. That's highly Aquarian. Be individualistic. You know, what's your totem animal? Are you one of the people who's really into flamingos? Think about that, how flamboyant and strange and wonderful they are. What is your unique, idiosyncratic, I don't care what anybody thinks of me, streak? And how is that coming out? How are you less concerned about what anybody else might think? There's something opening up for you all year long that plays into your being able to live in a way that is more honest about who you are and more expressive of who you are. Now, let me dial this back a second. The how we got here piece that I haven't addressed yet. Last year, actually in the last few years, all kinds of goals and infrastructures and responsibilities and obligations and things that we had been taught, again, started blowing up, imploding, collapsing, showing their rot or their unsustainability. And our, especially in the last year, especially since Saturn first entered the sign of Aquarius at the end of March for a brief coming attractions, and that coincided, by the way, with the whole new concept of social distancing, which is now, at least for the moment, a way of life. And my thought went with that, and I'm trying to get it back. Well, we have had our priorities absolutely refocus themselves. Life has streamlined. Each one of us is living life in a very different way now than we were a year ago. Last year, a lot of the outer planets plowed their way through the sign of Capricorn, which has to do with institutions and goals and the big shoulds of society, what we do out in the world, what we build in the world. Everybody has slowed down, has paid much more attention to the daily aspects of life. We're not running around so much. There's an element of simplicity and streamlining. And see if you don't agree that your list of priorities for your life has gone from a really big number to just a few. Now we are blossoming in that new way, okay? That is part of what we have left behind, that big pileup of energy moving through Capricorn, and now the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction at the beginning of Aquarius threw us down a path of new, different, inventive, idiosyncratic, building something new for us, each of us individually. I'm on my little soapbox here, but in some way this is resonating with you. If you are listening to this, you're building your own networks. You're much more aware of what you have in your life that you value. You have let your grasp go of stuff that isn't essential. And your concept of what is essential is very, very different than it was. So, this month, see who you come in contact with, who you are drawn to, what your inspirational experience is of all of this with the Piscean part. Commune with something transcendent, that's Venus in Pisces, and then let your raw nature go after it. And you will find there will be some rearranging of some of your agreements, some rearranging of some of your relationships. Surely you have noticed people are making different decisions. The streamlining and the goals are separating. We've got kind of the Hogwarts sorting hat thing going on here, and we're moving into different arrangements, different groupings. Some of them are communities that are springing up online. Some of them are groups of friends who are keeping in touch, using technology, building something together, building something creative. How does any of this fit into your life? And how can you expand on that? Useful homing thoughts. If you listen to my podcast, you know, I always have a homing thought for every week, but now I have a whole bunch of them for this particular episode. Show me another way to look at this. That is the perfect Uranian approach. Something doesn't work in your life, something that you thought was going to be with you for the long haul, coming up against an issue of authority, a structure, dealing with an institution, dealing with the government, dealing with authority, parents, something, or your own, whatever the inner thing in you is that says you have to act like an adult. If you find yourself rebelling against that or trying to find a different way to interact with it, ask yourself, show me another way to look at this. And then the Jupiterian approach to it is, how does this benefit me? When something happens, that's the monkey wrench, that's the lightning bolt that comes out of an area that you didn't see, how does this benefit me? Because all year long, we're on this trajectory of testing and tweaking and like we're shaking, taking the foundations, hitting the foundations, kicking the tires, whatever, between now and December, so that what is in place in our life at that point does have staying power. Now, to give you a little bit more context for this, two other pieces. Astrology deals with cycles. Most people are familiar with the fact that the moon, over the course of the month, goes through all 12 signs. Over the course of the year, the sun goes through all 12 signs. And the further out you go into the solar system, the longer the cycle is. Well, one cycle that would be very useful for you to think about is what's up with Saturn. Saturn in Aquarius. His cycle is about 28 and a half years. And he was last in this particular turf in Aquarius in 1991. His last tour of the sign of Aquarius was early 91 to early 93. Do you see any themes coming around again? Is there anything happening now that is testing or building on something that was a theme in your life from early 91 to early 93? Is there a theme from then that has come back around now? Saturn rewards hard work. He rewards acting with integrity and maturity and responsibility. He imposes retribution, consequences, ramifications for shortfalls. So, how, if you look at the time that you have spent, assuming you're old enough, from 91 to now, if you look at the spiral going up, are you acting differently? Did you learn? Have you built on something from then? Are you doing things in a mature and responsible way in whatever part of your life Aquarius happens to fall? That can be a very useful exercise to see what's happening now. So that's piece one. Piece two, I'm going to just hint at, and then I will talk about in detail after the break, and that is there is that cycles explain why life has been so intense in recent years, because we have an unusual convergence of three separate cycles happening at once, each of which last happened when we were, or when humanity was in, a massive, massive time of turmoil and change. And a lot of what we are seeing in the news around the globe actually plays this out.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Life is a flow. And enlightenment is simply harmonizing with the way life really is. Then you find that life is effortless, benevolent, and free of all suffering. Hey everyone, this is GP Walsh, and I want to invite you to my brand new radio show that's launching right here on OM Times Radio called The Flow of Enlightenment. I've been a spiritual teacher for decades, and my greatest pleasure is being able to share with you these deep and highly practical spiritual ideas. So join me in The Flow every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern and let yourself be transformed.
How would you like navigational tools you can use on your own? Visit my site, empowermentunlimited.net, and click the Shop tab. There you'll find lots of talks and guides explaining the big influences at work now, like Saturn in Aquarius and Uranus in Taurus. You'll also find a variety of guided visualizations for relaxing, clearing your energy, or getting to know planetary archetypes. That address again, empowermentunlimited.net.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hey, welcome back to Celestial Compass. This is Kathy Beal, and we're talking now about three big cycles that are happening at the same time that play into why life is so intense and why it has so relentlessly been so for the last few years. Three big cycles that have not occurred together. One is happening now for the first time since the mid to late 30s into the very early 40s. That's Uranus in the sign of Taurus. And that time period coincided with the Depression, with the rise of authoritarianism and totalitarianism, And with the expansion of governmental power in the U.S. in various ways, attempting to deal with the economy, yes, the New Deal. The second one, Neptune in Pisces, last happened in the mid to late 1800s and coincides with the rise of the Civil War. And the third one, Pluto in Capricorn, which started up in 2008, we last had in the late 1700s, coinciding with revolutions here on this continent and in France, and the time before that with Protestantism splintering off from the Catholic Church, which was the largest political institution on the planet. So these three, having to do with reshaping the role of government, reshaping the role of institutions, reshaping power, all happening at once. And this will continue for a few years. Now, we are this year in a somewhat calmer experience of it than we have been since, well, I'd say 2012 is when the explosive experience of all this really started. But now we are much more in a mode of, okay, what do we do about it? And should you be concerned that you might just want to collapse on the floor in a fetal position, if you're going to do that, I think that was going to happen last year. This year, this month, more and more and more, you're going to have little nudges all month long telling you, get up, get up, get up. You can do this. You can do this. Irritating, annoying little nudges that will push you into a more evolved expression of various parts of yourself. The metaphor for this influence is an oyster with little bits of sand seeping into the soft tissue of the oyster and not going away and creating an irritation that just keeps irritating. So the oyster secretes a substance to coat the irritation and just keeps secreting it and secreting it and secreting it until it creates a pearl, a thing of beauty, a thing that we have attached value to. So there is an evolutionary process, and it happens all month long, 12 different ways. Like the old Wonder Bread commercials. I just saw that. That dates me. Anyway, know that you're not going to be stuck this month. You're not going to be lying on the couch, staring at the ceiling, going, what's the point? First off, your mind's going to be alert. Little monkey mind running all over creation and probably having fun. Mars in Gemini really does support a lot of laughter, a lot of chatter, a lot of talk. So don't isolate. You're not going to want to isolate. And secondly, these little oyster-making influences are going to nudge you all the time. There'll be something saying, step up, you got to do this. And if you listen closely, you can hear, you can do this. This is put your big boy, big girl panties on territory. Again, it happens 12 times over the course of the month. It's a comes from what's called a minor aspect, but it really struck me when I was charting this month how frequently this occurs, how many times it's there, how unavoidable it is. It's almost like you make a course correction and go, okay, like there's something in your shoe and you're walking and you shake your shoe like, oh, I don't want to take my shoe off and dump this out. I'll just shake it and okay, whatever it is, I'm not feeling it now. And you walk along and then, it's back. So it's something that just keeps happening and happening and forcing you to pay attention and deal with it. It's not a big deal. It's not threatening. It's not painful. It's just this nagging little cosmic nudge again and again and again to step up, suit up, show up, take responsibility for yourself, take responsibility for what you want, admit to yourself what you want, indulge responsibly in what you want. and listen to the nudges. Just know that every time one comes, you're not going to be able to ignore it. It will find a way to get you and get you and get you. And the way to quiet it is just step up. You may find it really fun. Fun is possible this month. You may find it fun to come up with a reward system for yourself. Maybe a gold star, maybe an ice cream cone. I don't know. What to your inner kid says, good job. Do it, you know? Tell somebody. Don't just sit and be quiet. I mean, honestly, staying quiet this month, not going to happen. All right. We're all going to be chatterboxes like crazy. But why not pull someone else into it for you? I don't know if you're in an accountability group or if there are people that you say, I'm going to do X and you make me do it, and then answer to them and go, guess what? I did it. Again and again and again. This is one of the themes of the month. And look at it this way. Every one of these little nudges is pushing you into being able to play your role, have some autonomy, have some agency in your role in building whatever your new construct is going to be, so that you aren't just some kind of piece of fluff that the cosmos is batting about, or a cat toy that some huge cosmic cat is playing with. You're actually interacting and taking charge. We have a nice long stretch. March isn't just the only one of being able to get somewhere. And you'll find the more you step into each of these little hurdles, little annoyances, and say, oh, I'm just going to do this, your sense of your own ability is very likely going to increase. Your sense of your own control over yourself is going to increase, which will help you feel much more grounded and competent, and dealing with moving the puzzle pieces around could go very much easier as a consequence. And there's one other external factor that's going to help with this. I mentioned Neptune, cosmic fog machine. Neptune, over the last year, has had some activity going on with the nodes of the moon, mathematical points. They represent what we're moving away from, what we're moving toward. And they've been in a harsh relationship, pushing, pushing, pushing on the cosmic fog machine. We have been in a protracted period of split reality, bifurcated reality, parallel realities, segments of society looking at the same surface events and having radically different experiences of them, stories about them, beliefs about them. This has led to this influence on Neptune has played into what's been called fake news, false information, promulgation of outright lies, the role of the media in this, mainstream media, fringe media, issue of gaslighting, of people saying to your face that something is not true. I keep thinking of Chico Marx, who are you going to believe, me or your own eyes? We've had this going on, and it's starting to fade. It's starting to give away. Now, when the breakup started, it coincided with certain Twitter accounts being shut down, certain platforms being shut down, certain uses of social media being clamped down on, and you will find that the feeling that someone's lying to you, or even worse, that someone has stuck a screwdriver in your skull and has been twisting it around, which honestly is how I have felt at times, and I bet some of you would relate to that horrible image, that it's calmer now in that arena, and that the fog isn't quite so dense, and the sense of what's real and what's not real starting to dissipate. By May or so, the fog will be noticeably lower, and by December, a lot of the things that were issues last year about what's real and what's not real and the dual reality business is going to just dissipate. So take heart. You're building different navigational skills, and actually you've developed ways, especially with all this Pisces going on this month, you are developing ways of getting through all this without your mind even understanding it. You just sort of, we're all getting immersed in the energy and picking up where the energy is flowing and going with that. And once the fog goes away, those tools will still be with us. And everything that we step up into this month, every little annoyance that we go, oh, okay, I'll do that. Like, all right, I will tie my shoes, even though I don't need to do this. But nope, I'm going to tie my shoes. Nope, I'm going to do this. I would suggest to you also with this that it could be really, really useful to actually suit up, to actually dress up, to make a point to dress for the results that you want. And I don't care if you're sitting at home, if you've been sitting around in your stretch pants, wearing a sweatshirt, working in your pajamas, whatever, you will find, especially when these little nudges hit, if you actually work with it and say symbolically, I'm stepping up into this, wear nice clothes, fix your hair. Honestly, you will be working sympathetically with that energy. It is magic. And so you're not going into an office, some of you, dressed like you are. So you're not going to the theater or going out to a nice dinner. You know what? Periodically, dress like you are. Venus in Pisces can be very theatrical, so make your home into a set. Act like you're in a movie. I am not kidding. And when the fire comes back on in the middle of the month, in the middle of March, see what you're able to actually create. I will have a lot more to say about this in the next installment, which will be on the 15th, when Mercury will be moving into Pisces, will be in peak Pisces season at that point. But in the meantime, float with it, play with it, be a chatterbox, see what information flits your way. You might not even have to go running after it. With Mars running around in Gemini, stuff could come to you. Watch movies, read, surf through media, chat with people, give yourself downtime, experiment with what you can pick up on from other people. That can be really, really fun. Indulge in some of the arts. Listen to music. Watch movies that you can connect with emotionally. Oh, read plays out loud. That's actually something I do every week with a group of people. How's that? It's very Aquarian and also Piscean. Sing, play music. It's not a waste of time. It's even when you're fallow this month, you are working things out, you are making connections, and all of this is going to flow into the action that you find yourself just flying into wildly. It will be a very productive second half of the month. You can look at yourself as prepping for it now. Allow yourself the times out whenever they come. If you spend an entire day chatting with people, so what? You'll be getting something from it. Trust me. Down the line. So there's no such... One other thing to think about. Really good use of agricultural land alternates crops and sometimes lets the land sit and doesn't put seeds into it for a period of time, so the land can kind of regroup. You're essentially doing that yourself this month. Why not have some fun with it? And again, after the equinox, things are going to catch fire and you'll be all over creation. So just take things until then. Flow, go with the flow, go with the energy. It's highly mutable, unlike last month, which was very brittle. Take advantage of it. Play with it. Play can be sacred. So, end of sermon. If you want to know more about all this, there's a lot of stuff at my site. I have forecasts every week, every new moon, every full moon, every month. The moon and the monthly ones are also on omtimes.com. And thank you so much for being here for the maiden voyage of Celestial Compass. See you in 2 weeks on March 15th.